with the sound of music.
The versatile Australian actor Hugh Jackman said recently that Hollywood is once again embracing musicals. Jackman's new film is The Greatest Showman. It's a musical biopic about circus manager P.T. Barnum. It's set in the 1800s. The film contains original songs, and Jackman thinks that's unusual for Hollywood to get behind that. We're going to explore the long history of film musicals this hour of the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Martin Chilton is a former culture editor of The Telegraph, where he was also a music critic, columnist, and interviewer. He's also edited books on music. He recently wrote a piece for You Discover Music titled The Sounds of Musicals, How Songs Shaped Show Business on the Silver Screen. Martin, welcome to the program. And we're unable right now to get Martin Chilton with us. We're exploring films, the film musicals through the ages. And as we were saying earlier, Hugh Jackman came out with a recent film musical, The Great Showman, which is a biopic about circus manager P.T. Barnum that's set in the 1800s. Do you appreciate musicals that are later turned into films? What is it about them that gets you listening to them? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite film that has been adapted to a musical? How do you think film musicals influenced movie making in Hollywood from the 1930s to today? What memories of film musicals do you have that you have shared in your life? We're going to be hearing the scores that have moved all of us, film musicals, through the time. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Maybe you remember the golden age of movie musicals. My Fair Lady, Fiddler on the Roof, A Chorus Line. We're going down this memory lane of film musicals, including scores The Wizard of Oz. And Martin Chilton will be our guide in a moment here as we are trying to get some technical difficulties out of the way on this morning. Thanks so much for take your time and attention here as we try to get to the conversation. 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We're going to hear some of these film scores here for a moment, and let's start and let's take a listen.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I walk down the lane with a happy refrain. Just singing, singing in the rain. Dancing in the rain.
Singing in the rain. We're going through a trip of film musicals this hour of the morning show. We're having some technical difficulties as we get our guest on the line. Martin Chilton will be with us momentarily, and he is a former culture editor at The Telegraph, has studied film musicals through his career. You can join in with your favorites as well, 800-642-1234. Let's take another listen here. Sound of Music.
The hills are alive with the sound of music, with songs they have sung for a thousand years. The hills fill my heart with the sound of music. My heart wants to sing every song it hears.
wants to beat like the wings of the birds that rise from the lake to the trees. My heart wants to sigh like a chime that flies from a church on a breeze. To laugh like a brook when it trips and falls over stones on its way. To sing through the night.
Talking through film musicals this hour as we work to get our guest on the line here, film scores through the ages. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What film musicals have impacted your life? What ones do you recall that you grew up with, perhaps in the 1950s, in the 1960s? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. What about film scores today? How have they moved you? Do you see a film because of the music in it? What about Singin' in the Rain, The Sound of Music, La La Land, American in Paris? You could consider even Frozen when you start naming names in movie musicals. You don't have to stop at 800-642-1234. Let's go to Dan in Drummond. Dan, are you there? Hi.
Yeah. Well, my all-time favorite is with Gene Kelly, Vance Johnson, and Sid Charisse, and it's called Brigadoon.
Brigadoon. What do you love about that?
It's just the storyline. I mean, it's about a town that only appears once every 100 years. And Van Johnson and Gene Kelly happened to find it on the day that it appeared in that. And it's how Gene Kelly falls in love with Sid Charisse. And it's just a beautiful movie, beautiful musical, and I love the dancing.
The dancing gets you as well as the music. Is that right, Dan?
Uh-huh.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for sharing that observation. Brigadoon, I wish we had pulled the music for you this hour, but you'll have to go back and watch it soon, I hope. You can join in with your reflections on music on film musicals, 800-642-1234. Perhaps in the 1950s, it brought us Oklahoma, Carousel, The King and I, and South Pacific. Do you remember such sound-rich film musicals? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Let's take another listen to a score. We're celebrating the golden age of movie musicals this hour, giving a shout out to movie musicals like My Fair Lady, Fiddler on the Roof, A Chorus Line, The Wizard of Oz. And as we try to connect with our guest via our telephone system, we're also hearing about your favorite film musicals, the ones you have appreciated. Do you appreciate musicals that are later turned into films? What are your favorite film adaptions to musicals, adaptations? How do you think film musicals influenced movie making in Hollywood? 800-642-1234. Let's go to Catherine, who joins us from Ashland. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Kate. Well, first I want to say now I have to watch Brigadoon, which I've never watched before after listening to your other caller. The musical I remember is Mary Poppins.
Why do you love Mary Poppins?
Well, it's one of the very first from when I was very young that I heard. But so many of the songs you can, like, sing along with and stuff. And I think that's some of what makes musicals popular. They're singable if you want to sing along with them. But I also like the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
That's quite the contrast there, Catherine. Well, have you passed Mary Poppins to the next generation? I know my daughter, I introduced her to Mary Poppins, and I introduced my son as well. Have you been able to bridge that to the next generation?
No, I haven't. but it's still a great memory, and I feel like, you know, the next generation, they are open to it. They just don't always get to hear the things or see the things because they are so busy with all these quick things on their phone. And but I think when you introduce them to things, they love them, especially if they're part of their parents' or their family's history of enjoyment.
Well, Catherine, thank you so much for that. And it makes me want to go back and watch Mary Poppins very soon.
Well, good. Thank you, Kate.
Let's go to Katrina now, who joins us in Appleton. Hi, Katrina.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for this program. My absolute favorite is Porgy and Bess.
Oh, Porgy and Bess. Yes.
That opening song, Summertime, but it I believe that Gershwin wrote that, and I consider him one of the U.S.'s top musicians. And oh, I would be so happy if I could see that one more time.
One more time. On the stage, or are you okay with films?
Oh, I just love the movie. You know, it was, as I am an older person, if you go to one of these really modern theaters, you feel like you are right there, and I just do. I love just about every musical, but that was just out of this world. It showed the problems of the darkies and the
Well, Katrina, thank you so much for the call. And let's see if we can get Martin Chilton here on the line. And Martin is the former culture editor of The Telegraph. Martin, are you there? We have no Martin yet. We're still working on it. Let's go to Leanne now, who joins us from Winter. Hi, Leanne.
Hi.
Go ahead. What is your favorite film musical?
My favorite one is Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Why is that?
You know, it was set back in the Western days, and it was in the 60s. I was a young girl, and most Westerns you watch, it's killing and stealing and that, but this was more fun. So, you know, brides were looking for grooms, and they met these seven brothers, and it was just a lot of fun.
Do you remember watching it again and again, or is it something you come back to today?
I've seen it a few times afterwards, and I still get the same feeling. You know, it's like I'm right in the movie, and I like it.
Do you share it with family and friends? Do they also have an affinity?
Yes, I have shared it with my daughter, and she loves to watch it, and now she is sharing it with her daughter. And hopefully one of these times the three of us can actually sit down and watch it together.
That should be an event. You should make that happen, Leanne. Thank you so much for the observation.
Right.
Appreciate it. You two can join in on your favorite film musicals at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's see if we can get to Martin Chilton now. Martin, are you there? No, we still have no Martin. Well, let's take another listen to a film score here as we talk about film history and film musical history through the ages. Let's take a listen.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain. Oklahoma, every night my honey lamb and I sit alone and talk and watch a hawk making lazy circles in the sky. We know we belong to the land, and the land we belong to is grand. And when we say,
no!
I-F-I-O-E-A, we're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.
And we're hearing some from the film musical Oklahoma. Perhaps you've seen it on stage. Perhaps you have seen it in the movie theater. Films adapted to Broadway and vice versa. We're talking about them through history this hour of the morning show, getting your thoughts on film musicals as well at 800-642-1234. Perhaps you saw La La Land last year and you consider that a film musical. 800-642-1234. Let's take a listen to another. And Martin Chilton is now with us, former culture editor of The Telegraph, where he was also a music critic, columnist, and interviewer. He has edited books on music, recently wrote a piece for You Discover Music titled The Sounds of Musicals, How Songs Shaped Show Business on the Silver Screen. Martin, thanks so much for joining us.
That's right. Good morning. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you, yes. So describe the difference between film musicals and other types of musicals, such as those set for the stage.
Well, I think the film musicals have the sort of production values that you can't necessarily get on stage musicals. For instance, in the opening to La La Land, which is probably one of the most sort of successful films, musicals of recent times, there's a magnificent opening section which is set on a highway involving sort of hundreds and hundreds of cars and people dancing on top of them. And it's the sheer sort of scale and size of that that is so dramatic and eye-catching. And I think you can do that in a film, whereas on a small stage, just by limit of the size, you can't necessarily do that.
Is that dramatic effect the reason why we gravitate toward film musicals?
I think they're very glamorous as well. I mean, I heard your caller, Catherine, talk about how much Mary Poppins meant to her. And there's a sort of panache and dazzle to the original film. But interestingly, you were trying to get her interested in what's coming, and that there is actually a Mary Poppins Returns film coming out this December, starring Emily Blunt. So I think there is still an appetite amongst younger people for musicals, even iconic ones that we all remember from the past.
So is there a magic when it comes to the choreography, the music itself? Is the music pushing the plot or vice versa? What's going on? What is the secret sauce?
Well, I think the music sometimes interrupts the plot and it can be a bit frustrating, but I think the choreography is one of the key points. The person who mentioned Brigadoon was talking about the dancing, and Gene Kelly's dancing is just dazzling. I mean, his sequence in Singing in the Rain, where he's jumping on lampposts and jumping down and twirling his umbrella, is just magnificent, really. And that started in the 30s when a man called Busby Berkeley suddenly realized that instead of a static camera, he could have a moving camera, and then you'd get these dance routines and views, these sort of bird's eye view of dancers that just was captivating for audiences. And I don't think that's changed. I think, you know, there's a whole host of musical films coming out, and you mentioned The Greatest Showman starring Hugh Jackman, and A Star Is Born is being remade this year, and I think they all will have that similar sort of eye-catching quality. I mean, I don't know what your view is, but musicals sort of, they do divide people. They don't necessarily, some people see the songs as an interruption and oh, get on with the plot. So, but I think for most people, they're a sort of charming escapism.
Let's linger for a moment in the 1930s with director, you mentioned Busby Berkeley, who was born in Los Angeles and choreographed or directed 19 film musicals in the 1930s. Let's take a listen to a clip from the film Varsity Show.
On Wisconsin, on Wisconsin, fight on for her fame, fight!
Near and dear to our hearts. What is so special about Berkeley's use of motion cameras in this film?
Well, I think he knew how to sort of get a dramatic effect. I mean, the finale is pretty sort of spectacular, but he also got the best out of actors. I mean, in that, there was a man called Dick Powell who was the sort of lead on it. And Busby Berkeley sort of, he would get actors and actresses to sort of go above themselves, really. And I think in that era we were dealing with was some of the sort of iconic stars of whose names remain. I mean, everybody sort of who loves film will know Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers and the films they made, and just the sort of the dazzling quality of some of their sequences. I mean, there was a film called Top Hat with Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, and they're absolutely at the peak of their form. And they dance, it's glamorous, the costumes they're wearing look lovely, and the songs were just incredibly good songs. I mean, in that film, Top Hat, there's a song called Cheek to Cheek.
And we have that song. Let's take a listen to Cheek to Cheek.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Heaven, I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak, and I seem to find the happiness I seek when we're out together dancing cheek to cheek.
Martin Shilton, what makes a film musical a true classic?
Well, I think it's got to have something special, and in that particular one you played, from Top Hat, that comes during a scene when Fred Astaire's wearing a tuxedo and he declares his love for Ginger Rogers, and she's dressed in a feathery white gown, and the words of the song. I mean, incredibly, Irving Berlin wrote that song in a matter of a few hours on demand for the film, and those words, my heart beats so that I can hardly speak. They're just memorable. The whole thing is just a cut above. I mean, but funny enough, I mean, one of the good things about musicals is it's down to talent. So women were given as much sort of time on screen as the men in that era because they could dance as well. And in fact, if you think about it, there's a famous joke about Ginger Rogers that she did everything that Fred Astaire did, only dancing backwards and wearing high heels. So she she's one of those great stars of the musicals who's, you know, even youngsters, I think, although the black and white would probably put them off, but if you sat and watched a film like that, you can't help but be sort of impressed by just how good they are at what they're doing.
Now we move to the end of the 1930s and the best loved and popular musicals in cinema history. Let's take a listen to The Wizard of Oz. You mentioned that film musicals such as The Wizard of Oz had nothing to do with realism, but yet this is still an all-time favorite. What does the lack of realism in musicals suggest about the world of musicals?
Well, I think they're a transcendent sort of place. They take you out of the ordinary, and they're very much meant to do that. I mean, there's a line from the Cowardly Lion played by Burt Lorre in The Wizard of Oz where he says, "It's been in me so long I just had to let it out." And you know, we don't behave like that in normal life. Nobody is walking down the aisle at Walmart and breaks into song as they're buying their groceries. It's a very different place, the film musical, and it's not for everybody. I mean, you played earlier a thing from The Sound of Music, and there's a famous scene in the film The Addams Family Values where they take the two little children, Wednesday and Pugsley, to punish them. They're on holiday in Camp Chippewa, and they take them to a place called the Harmony Hut, and their punishment is to be made to watch The Sound of Music. So I do get that it's for every sort of person who thinks, oh, wonderful, somebody's breaking into song, what a lovely... For others, it's just... what is going on here? This isn't real to life. People don't just suddenly break into song.
Martin Chilton is our guide this hour on film musicals. He's former culture editor at The Telegraph. You can join in with your thoughts on film musicals at 800-642-1234. We'll be back after this news. As we tour musical film history, it's worthwhile to linger in the 1950s that brought us Oklahoma, Carousel, The King and I, and South Pacific. We're taking a sound-rich tour through film musicals, past and present, and what's solidified this genre with Martin Chilton. He's former culture editor at The Telegraph. Your insights on this genre at 800-642-1234. What are the greatest movie musicals of all time? What do you want to know about one? Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to Catherine in Eau Claire. Hi, Catherine.
Hi. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
Yeah, I wanted to share my absolute favorite is I love The Sound of Music, and I'm 30 years old. My sister and I grew up watching everything, Rodgers and Hammerstein, so we're totally hopeless romantics, of course. but I've been able to share them with my daughter, who's 7.5, and I remember we were watching The Pajama Game, and just seeing her face light up, and she immediately wanted to replay a few of the songs and sing them, and it was like watching myself all over again. My grandma had shared the movies with us as we were young girls, and so it's been really fun to kind of relive that inside of her, and I was able to travel to Austria and do the Sound of Music bus tour, and I was just in heaven the entire time.
Oh my goodness, that is amazing. Catherine, thanks so much for sharing that with us. Martin, she's been able to bridge generations with the Sound of Music.
Well, that's great, isn't it? I mean, it's nice to know that a film sort of can carry on from parent to child. And in fact, a lot of those great 50s musicals you were talking about, they're actually making plans to remake some of them, West Side Story and Guys and Dolls. And I think that shows that they can connect to younger people.
Let's go to Elizabeth, who joins us from River Falls. Hi, Elizabeth. Oh, Elizabeth, are you there? Nope. Okay. Elizabeth loved Kiss Me, Kate. Martin, what do we know about Kiss Me, Kate?
Well, it's another one of those iconic movies, really, that it had lyrics by Cole Porter, and And I think one of the things that makes musicals from those eras stand out is that they had such good songwriters behind them. I mean, Cole Porter was a magnificent. They also had, you know, they had real sort of great lyrics for the actors and actresses to get into. And that one was Catherine Grayson and Howard Keel, who later became a sort of TV star. But it was really Cole Porter's songs. And they also got good scores in those days. They got Andre Previn doing the score for that one. So it's the talent, really. But I think talent's still around. I think, you know, one of the things that's been a success in theatre musicals recently has been Hamilton, which has been an extraordinary success. And I know that's been... it's going to be at the Ulane Theatre in Milwaukee.
Yes.
And it's coming to London as well. So it's a sort of global thing. And, I mean, people in London have been clamouring to get tickets, and I can't imagine it's any different anywhere else. But that sort of shows that I think if you do a musical really well and it's special, it will resonate with the public.
You mentioned in your piece that even jazz musicians like Louis Armstrong would sometimes star in the film musicals. So considering, you know, High Society by Louis Armstrong, why were musicians interested in working in the film business?
Well, for a start, a lot of them were showmen or show women. So they liked the attention of the camera. They were good at it. They'd grown up. Don't forget, one of the reasons that film musicals took off was that a lot of people were very used to seeing that sort of format on stage. When theatre was big in the 20s, and it only really sort of... In the 50s, people would go and see Broadway musicals, and so they were very used to seeing people... And Louis Armstrong, for instance, appeared on Broadway in a production of a Shakespeare play, so he was used to being on stage. He liked acting, and he had fun. And in High Society, he was with Bing Crosby, and Bing Crosby and Louis Armstrong became sort of quite friendly over the years and spoke highly of each other. And I think Bing Crosby was one of the honorary pallbearers at Louis Armstrong's funeral. So I think Louis Armstrong loved it. And for actors and actresses who were in films with him, they loved it too, because he was an incredibly lively, funny, warm man. So he was good to be around on set. You know, I think everybody won, really. And if he played his music in it, you got the chance to sort of hear. In High Society, he obviously plays the trumpet.
Let's take a listen to High Society.
Oh, lovely. I'm gonna play for my former band. He runs the local jazz festival. His name is Dexter, and he's good news. Something kind of tells me that boy is nursing the blues. And high society.
So really fun to hear the music behind and the story behind the music.
That's wonderful, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. Let's go to Anne now in Monona. Hi, Anne.
Favorite musical, and that was Babes in Arms. My father had the records to it. I believe it was Rodgers and Hammerstein, and I think it was made around 1950 or something. But there were songs like My Funny Valentine and Babes in Arms and Way Out West on West End Avenue. Just really, really wonderful. I thought they were just fabulous tunes. I didn't see it on stage, and I don't know whether a movie was ever made of it. I don't think it was very popular, but that was just my favorite ever.
Anne, thank you so much. Martin?
Yeah, there was a film made of Babes in Arms, actually, with Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney.
So, Anne, you have to go seek it out.
It was quite old, though. I think it's the late 30s.
Very good. Well, Anne, thank you so much for that call. Let's fast forward, Martin Chilton, to more modern times here. And, you know, as you look at the 21st century and what film musicals have meant to this era, what comes to mind?
Well, I think I mean, even I think the Disney ones will always be popular, the animated ones, and I know that Beauty and the Beast has just broken all the box office records for musical films, so I think they'll continue that. Hollywood likes to make money, obviously, and if musicals make money, then they'll do more of them. And there's a few ones coming out. There's the Mary Poppins Returns that I mentioned. There's a musical about the life of Freddie Mercury of Queen. There's a musical about Carole King, a new Guys and Dolls. And they're making a musical of the Roald Dahl's book Matilda. So I can see in the next few years, actually, there'll be a lot of sort of big-name actors and actresses going into Hollywood films. What you don't get anymore is like the era of Elvis Presley, when you had a pop star, rock star, and they just used films as a vehicle to sell records. So Elvis, I think, appeared in about 31 films, but I can't see anybody, you know, there wouldn't be a, you know, if you thought of the modern equivalent of superstar singers like Taylor Swift, well, she's not going to be in films, as it's just, it's not the same era. So I think if there are going to be music films with musicians, there'll be one-offs like the Eminem one, the 8 Mile one.
Let's take a listen to Eminem's 8 Mile. It set the tone for hip-hop motion pictures. Let's take a listen.
But I know something about you. You went to Cranbrook. That's a private school. Oh! What's the matter, dog? You in Paris? This guy's a gangster. His real name is Clarence. Oh! And Clarence lives at home with both parents. And Clarence's parents have a real good marriage.
What did films like this do for the world of hip-hop?
Well, I think they present it to a much wider audience than it would otherwise reach. And I think with 8 Mile, it was such a good film, and it was such a convincing portrait of the life of a rapper. Eminem plays a young rapper called Rabbit, and he grows up in Detroit, and it's quite a gritty film. It's quite, you get a sense that it's a genuine film, that he's presenting how difficult life is in those circumstances. And the music was good. And I mean, he won an Oscar for his song. So, and I think he's a good example of some musicians can do well if they try and act. I mean, Elvis did it, Frank Sinatra did it, Bing Crosby did it, and he did it. You know, I think, so he just brought hip-hop to a much more sort of open-minded audience than you might necessarily have thought. Oh, hip-hop, what's that? Gone to see the film and actually thought, oh, I'm really interested in this.
Let's bring in Sarah in Wisconsin Dells now. Sarah, hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have two quick memories. Back when I was growing up, we had a tradition in our school where the 4th through 6th graders every year would put on a different musical. And that tradition lasted long after I was in school. When I grew up, I went back to start helping with the productions, and that was so much fun, teaching the kids to enjoy music and just having a great time with them. I remember one of the musicals we did was Annie, and how I was so surprised. The girls had never held a mop before, so we learned life skills as well about mopping and sweeping. And one of our other productions was Fiddler on the Roof, and I will never forget the expression on my boys' faces when they completed the bottle dance with actual bottles on their heads, and they just had great joy in what they had accomplished, and love passing that down to the next generation. Musicals are absolutely wonderful.
Sarah, thank you so much. Martin, any closing thoughts on film musicals?
Just that I think, they provide so much enjoyment to people, and people should suspend their sort of disbelief and try them. And I think there's a future for them. There's a Netflix TV show called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which is all based around singing, and the character has sort of mental health problems, and she sings about that as well, and it's funny and it's moving. So I think they can be relevant to a modern era as well as not just nostalgia, not just, singing and dancing from another era. And as your caller just said, children who grow up learning the joys of singing together and acting and dancing are going to have fun.
Well, Martin, thank you so much for being with us.
No, you're welcome. Thanks very much, Kate.
Martin Chilton is a former culture editor of The Telegraph, where he was also a music critic, columnist, and interviewer. He's also edited books on jazz. And this hour of the morning show was produced by Niaja Ellison. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the Ideas Network.